Good afternoon. We'd now like to call to order the April 11th regular meeting for the Chatham County Savannah Metropolitan Planning Commission. Before I heard a ring, so I want to address it before I get into the next part of it. If you all would, please, from a housekeeping standpoint, silence all phones so that everybody has the opportunity to hear and hear what happened, the happenings of the day. Clearly, and we can make sure also that recording is reflected clean as well. We'll pause for a quick moment for invocation, and then we'll proceed immediately into the Pledge of Allegiance. God, we ask that we thank you for being able to come together as community for the community. We ask that you impart a spirit of collaboration, understanding, and discernment as we make decisions throughout this process for the good of our community. Cover and protect all those under the sound of my voice. And thank you. Amen. Yeah. Oh, I almost had that. Pledge allegiance
to the flag and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible.
Thank you. Okay, for staff, petitioners, and the members of the public who are participating today, our procedures will be as follows. The agenda is broken down into several parts. First, there are notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. Next, we'll go into the consent agenda, which consists of items which the applicant is in agreement with, the staff recommendation, and there are no known objections. This will be followed by regular business, then old business, and then adjournment. For each agenda item on the regular business, staff will make a presentation, and the staff will then be followed by a presentation from the petitioner should they elect to do so. The petitioner will be allotted a time frame of no more than 20 minutes. The board may then ask questions of the petitioner or staff for clarification. Afterwards, the floor will be open for the public comment. If you wish to comment on an item that the board is considering at the time, members of the public that are in person must fill out a speaker card and give it to staff. If you are participating virtually, you'll use the raise your hand feature on your screen at the appropriate time. Do not use the feature until the item you want to comment on is being considered. At the appropriate time, you will be recognized and staff will unmute your microphone. At the end of the time allotted, as determined by the chair, your microphone will be muted and the chair will recognize the next speaker. And just as a note, we want to hold to a strong 3 minutes for each public comment. I will pull your coattail, but I just wanted everybody to be very clear on the time frame in which we want to allow for everyone to speak so that everybody has the opportunity to speak. The total public comment time will be equivalent to the petitioner's presentation time. Therefore, it is important that you use the raise your hand feature during the hearing on that item if you want to speak on a petition. Once the floor is closed for public comment on a petition, no additional public speakers will be allowed. That is very important. If you are not certain you want to speak, still use the raise your hand feature or submit a speaker card. And at the time in which you are called upon, if you choose not to speak after that point, you can always decline. After public comment, the petitioner will then have the opportunity to respond to public comment. Once that portion is complete, the board will go into discussion and then we'll go into a vote. All right. So now we'll go ahead into the agenda. Next item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda.
Motion to approve.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Motion made by Mr. Noah and seconded by Mr. Coleman. We'll go into a voice vote for this. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is the notices proclamations and acknowledgments. There are none listed. Next, we'll go into the next item, and that is the items requested to be removed from the final agenda. And for the record, I will read those items. It's a zoning text amendment of accessory dwelling units. That petition is number 22-005883. Next item is a map amendment at 343 Buckhalter Road. It's a rezoning from a RACO to a IL. That petition number is 23-000304-ZA. Next item, special use permit at 2602 Whitaker Street. Petition number 23-000865-ZA. Restaurant with alcohol sales. Next item is zoning map amendment. That is petition number 23-001-408-ZA at 810 East Broad, 613 to 623 East Gwinnett Street, 610 to 614 East Bolton Street. And that is a rezoning from a TC2 to a DX. Then the next item on this portion of the agenda is a zoning map amendment. That is petition number 23-001-096-ZA, and it's Duren Frontage Road, and that's a rezoning from a RSF6 to a OIE.
Okay. Noah makes motion to remove items 1 through 5 from the final agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Noah. Do I have a second? Motion made by Mr. Noah and second by Mr. Coleman. If there is no concern or discussion on those items, we'll enter a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Motion carries. Next item on the agenda are items requested to be withdrawn. We have three items there. The first item is a rezoning map amendment and that petition number is 22-004-383-ZA, Albion Street, special use permit for a place of worship. Next item is special use. 312 East Anderson Street, a special use request for on-site consumption of alcohol, petition number 23-000867-ZBA. And then the next item is a map amendment at 312 East Anderson Street, a rezone from TN1 to TC2, and that petition number is 23-001-036-ZA.
Noah makes motion to withdraw items 6 through 8 from the final agenda.
Motion made by Mr. Noah and seconded by Mr. Coleman. If there's no discussion on these items to be removed, withdrawn, excuse me. We'll go into a voice vote. All in favor? Any opposed? All right, motion carries. So now we're going to the consent agenda. The consent agenda consists of items for which the applicant is in agreement with staff recommendation and for which no known objections have been identified nor anticipated by staff. Any objections raised at the meeting will result in the item being moved to the regular agenda. At a 12:30 briefing, the staff will brief the commission on consent agenda items, and time permitting, regular agenda items. No testimony will be taken from applicants, supporters, or opponents, and no votes will be taken at that briefing. Just an FYI. Okay. The item on that consent agenda is an approval of the March 21st, 2023 meeting minutes.
No motion to approve.
All right. We got a motion made by Mr. Noah and seconded by Mr. Coleman. There's no discussion. We'll do a voice vote for this as well. All in favor? Any opposed? All right. Thank you. So if any of those items that were named either in the items removed from the final agenda, the items withdrawn, or items on the consent agenda were named and you are here in reference to those, you may feel free to leave at your leisure. Okay. Next item on the agenda is old business. There is none listed. So we'll go into our regular agenda, and that is an amended master plan for the reserve at Savannah Harbor, petition number 23-001-403-plan. Mr. Lotson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The petition before you is a request to amend a previously approved master plan. This is the master plan for the reserve at Savannah Harbor on Hutchinson Island. This plan was initially approved in 2004. It was amended both in of 2007 and 2009. I'm going to share with you now the current plan. This is an exhibit showing the plan as it exists today, and it is essentially a residential master plan, and there are different forms of residential associated with this plan, including townhomes, single-family residential, and condominiums. The portion that we're going to be focused on today are right in the center of the plan area here, and when I show you the amended plan, we'll talk about what the petitioner is proposing, but essentially what they're asking for in terms of the amendment is to change or recombine 42 existing residential lots into 24 larger residential lots. So a reduction of the overall lot count to take those 42 lots and turn them into 24 lots. Lots 88 through 108 and 153 through 159 would be recombined and lanes removed to create 7 lots. Lots 143 through 146 would be recombined to create 2 lots. Lots 217 through 220 would be recombined to create 2 lots. And lots 164 through 180 would be recombined to create 13 lots. The intent is to move to a different product type that would be accommodated by these lots. Another thing that's significant about this request is that the lanes that you see here and here would be eliminated as part of this request in the process of combining those lots into larger lots. When we look at the proposed master plan, which is here, you can see the areas that are highlighted here are the areas we discussed that are in question. So removing the lane here, combining these lots to make larger lots, removing these lanes and combining these lots to make larger lots, and the combination of lots in this area as well. The master plan identifies all the various lot types in the site data table, and the applicant is proposing to refer to the recombined lots as type G. Type G lots would be 70 feet wide and 115 feet in depth, so around 8,000 square feet for single-family residential. These lots would also be front-loaded with the lanes going away, so those lots would no longer have the access via the lane. As you can see within the master planned area, and let me go back and just say that after the initial approval of the existing master plan and even the subsequent revisions, amendments in 07 and 09, there's been a total of 12 homes built on the site. That includes some townhomes as well as some single family detached on the property. So obviously when this was approved, it was coming right into the economic downturn, which led to, was part of the reason of, you know, little development out here up until now. All the infrastructure is in place, the streets, stormwater, water, sewer, all those sort of nuts and bolts aspects. One of the things that got mentioned in the pre-meeting also is that you do see docks on these plans. These are for individual homeowners should they get approval from Department of Natural Resources. There is one community dock, or two community docks, I guess, located here. Those are not part of what's being requested. Really, for today's consideration, only the recombination of the 42 lots to create 24 larger lots, the proposed setback changes to accommodate the lack of lane entry, and an amendment to allow the type G lots to be front loaded is what's being considered. From the standpoint of the overall residential single family unit summary, just in the single family, currently there are 243 approved townhomes. This proposal would reduce the number to 231. There are 201 single family detached homes currently approved, and this proposal would decrease that number to 195. The proposed amendments we find are generally in keeping with the overall development pattern in previous iterations of the plan. There is some change. The most significant change, other than the lot size and staff's finding, is the elimination of the lanes. As I mentioned, all the streets here are streets and lanes are public. Because of the extended development timeline of this master plan, it is expected that changes happen over time. We've seen this with other master plans throughout the county, that those changes have occurred. Based on the compatibility we feel with lot size generally throughout this portion of the planned area, the likely type of product that would exist on a 8,000 square foot lot, we believe would be in keeping with both the existing homes and future homes out here. One thing that we did spend a lot of time discussing internally is the elimination of the lanes. We know that there is a fairly good pattern of circulation throughout the neighborhood, having visited the site, in terms of vehicular circulation. But the abandonment of those rights of way would require approval by the city of Savannah. We are making that a condition of our recommendation, and staff is recommending approval of the amendment with the condition that any right-of-way abandonments be approved by the city of Savannah prior to the recording of a revised plat that would be required in order to create the subject parcels. And with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Good deal. Thank you, Mr. Lotson. Anybody have questions for staff?
Chairman.
Mr. Noah.
Just for clarity, the elimination of these lanes, they will be, well, let me say it a different way. Every interior lot, either not on the water or the golf course, has a lane currently behind it. Is that correct? So that if we eliminate those lanes, that would be the only ones in the whole neighborhood that do not have lanes, correct? And we can ask the petitioner.
Yeah, I'm just looking at some of these areas, because some of these appear to be streets, but not lanes, but I understand what you're saying. So this looks like it would be the only area. Well, although, let me say this, Mr. Noah. For example, in this area where there's a proposed recombination, there's a lane exists here. Now, if this is recombined, you have frontage on all sides, but you will not have lane access.
So these lots will be the only lots, interior lots, in the development that does not have a lane, should they
get Yes, that appears to be the case as I'm looking at some of the others.
Ms. Wolves, I get you.
If I can follow up on that, then unless the petitioner comes back and asks for additional combinations on a separate time.
Ms. Jarrett?
So these would be the only ones that would be front loaded. They would look different than the other properties in the neighborhood.
Well, I think it'd be important to speak to the owner about that, because although many of these lots have lane access, it doesn't necessarily mean that they won't be front loaded.
Mr.
Chairman,
sure.
Jay Melder, that was my question, and maybe it's more appropriate to the developer, Mr. Lotson, was how many homes in the approved plan versus the amended plan are front-loaded homes and front-serviced homes from a refuse and recycling collection point of view. I think that's being important to note. And then in MPC's review of the lane issue, understanding that the condition is with the approval of the city of Savannah, from a zoning and a design perspective, what was staff's consideration about the elimination of these lanes?
Sure. What we found really is that although the lanes are a part of the overall design layout of the reserve, we think that it's also appropriate to have a mix of housing types that can include a different sort of access point for the homes here. So when you look throughout the development, there are a number of homes, say, that on the riverside that have strictly street access, especially along both the Back River and the Savannah River. So those already exist. They're larger in nature. We think those are complementary to the proposed lots. A lot of the other interior lots are a very different sort of grid pattern, but we didn't think it was inappropriate to have a continuation of some of the larger riverside lots on the interior of the site.
And can you remind me what types of, I know you said that there are 12 residences that have been developed. And what type of residences are those now currently?
So those are, they're all single family. Some are in townhomes and some are in single family detached. And let me show you, I've got a map here that will illuminate where those are located. So, for example, there's a townhome building located here, which I believe is 5 units, a number of single-family residences here, also here, single-family residential detached, I should say. So there are currently both single-family attached and single-family detached within the development.
And do you know how many of the currently built homes are front-loaded, front-serviced homes versus lane-serviced?
None of the current ones appear to be, except here, this corner lot, and the townhomes have lane access, and these single-family homes do as well.
Thank you.
Any further questions for staff? All right. Thank you, Mr. Larson. We'll now hear from the petitioner. If you would, make sure you state your name for the record, and you have 20 minutes.
Do you need any exhibits?
You just leave a master plan. That's
fine.
I think I can answer questions.
Thank you. All right. Cool. Good afternoon. My name is John Gaskin. I'm here on behalf of Patrick Malloy Communities. We're the applicant in this case, the home builder. And in case you're not familiar with our company, and I hope you would be at this point, but we are primarily an Atlanta builder. We build age-restricted homes. We build what we call family homes, townhomes, and so forth, kind of a variety of things. But we're shifting now more toward age-restricted type housing. In our communities in Atlanta, we've probably got, between what we built and what we have under contract, I've got probably close to 3,000 lots. And what we do with these very large, gated, amenitized, age-restricted product, and we found that that's been received particularly well. It's kind of recession-proof. People don't get loans. It's people that have a lot of, you know, and accumulated assets and so forth. So we also have, so we have that product, and it's branded under a Soleil brand. And that means that's the age-restricted. And we have basically about 8 or 10 different products, but under each one of those different products, there's a lot of variation in the interior layout, the exterior, the colors, and so forth. So we typically sell at a very rapid pace. For instance, we just opened a community a little over a year ago in Atlanta, and we sold 120 homes in 1 year. So in Savannah, currently we're building in that the Upper East River, which is part of the Eastern Wharf, which initially goes back to the Savannah River Landing Project. And we now have a Savannah division. We have five or six people that are here locally. And when we first started Savannah River Landing, it looked a lot like this particular project. It had been in foreclosure for a number of years, and we partnered with Pinnacle Partners. The city actually was a partner, a small partner in that deal because of the parking deck. So we're part of that big development that's just past the Marriott at the end of the Riverwalk. So we've been looking around Savannah because the market obviously is growing. There's a great job market here. There's a lot of affluence and so forth. And that's typically, and it's attractive to people who are over 55 or looking to retire. And so we've identified Hutchison Island, the reserve, as a property that would fit that product and that concept particularly extremely well. So we've been working, probably driving the seller crazy for probably over 6 months, 9 months, trying to work out details. And ultimately, our goal would be like to buy the whole island, to be quite honest. But at this point, we can't, there's certain components like restricting everything to age restricted. At this point, all we control are these 24 lots, or assuming that this passes and we close. So our purpose here is to get in with these first 24, put that product in and see how it goes. And quite honestly, as we move forward, we'll start probably, moving with bigger contracts and trying to take down. Our ultimate goal is to pick up the rest of the island, as I mentioned. The reason to get rid of the rear alleys in this particular case is, again, all of our product is front loaded. And I can't stretch these lots out because the roads are in place, so I only have a certain dimension. And the rear alleys, quite honestly, serve no purpose for our age restricted that are all front loaded. Matter of fact, it's kind of a hindrance because it doesn't really serve any access to these particular houses. Nobody, I don't know what they would use it for. And we went, part of taking picking these first 24 lots is we made sure that nobody else in the community who either had an existing lot or one lot that the seller was retaining or people who lived there would not lose any access to these rear alleys and private drives. So the ones that we took out for this application those blocks would be entirely our lots. So nobody would be losing, no existing property or lot or owner would lose any access, rear access, and certainly not front access as well. So I think from a price standpoint, I know this is not really a zoning issue, but part of the reason that we're asking to convert the 42 lots to 24, it's our product is bigger than what's planned on the site. These were basically like 30 and 35 foot townhome rear alley type lots, obviously. So we think one that our price point, and I'll get into that in a minute, is going would bring a higher price to this particular community. I think that we'll bring a price that's not only comparable with the people who live there now, but I think from what I'm hearing, some of the interest, particularly in some of the perimeter lots where people are thinking of some really large estates and so forth, I think we're going to be very suitable from a price standpoint. But if you do look at the remainder of the site plan, there's a large amount of rear alley townhomes, and I don't know what you'd call a single family that would fit on a 35-foot lot, but I'm sure there's some sort of name, detached. But so there's still a very large preponderance of that type of product. As a matter of fact, in the ratio of number of lots, it's still by far and away the highest percentage are still rear access. So typically, if you look at the perimeter of the project, those are all 70-foot lots. That quite honestly may be the next area we move into. They back up to the golf course and so forth. And hopefully we wouldn't have to come back and ask for any sort of variances or anything there. But so we think that introducing just another 24 lots into this mix doesn't in any way compromise the original nature of the project, But I do think that the original nature of the project, given the fact that it has sat out there for a period of time, so somebody needs to take a fresh look at it. So in our price, our product, in this case, I mean, in Atlanta, it's always truly age restricted. You have to be 55 and older and all the covenants and restrictions that come with that here. But here, because they're existing homes and the sellers still has interest in other lots, we'll have the same product exactly like we have in Atlanta, but this won't be an age restricted community per se as it exists right now. If somehow we were to come in and buy everything and somehow could start all over again and put a gatehouse in that was manned 24 hours a day and appropriate amenity and so forth, I'd love to have this as a gated 24-hour a day security guard, a huge amenity with all kinds of social clubs and the things that we have in Atlanta. But I still think I can get, because of location, we love the setting. I still think it's got a very resort feel to it. So I think we can start, our lowest price product is about $650,000. I think we can hit $850,000 here pretty soon. And I think obviously the key to that is getting that size lot. So the 70 foot fits our biggest product, which is what we're designing this for, in anticipation that the prices here are going to be comparable to a similar type setting in Atlanta. So we've somehow, this is beyond zoning, but I still think it plays into, particularly people, if there are people here who live there, is the age restricted product that we have. There's the basic product, and then as the people come in and buy it, they're typically selling a larger home, and so they put a lot of after the original contract money into fit finishes and structural options and so forth. So that's really where the price points come in, at about $300 a square foot. And so if you look at most single family detached, it's rare that it hits that kind of price point. And simply it's because of all the upgrades and the high quality of materials that people put into these lots. Other than that, I can't think of anything to add other than if you had questions. And if I have any time, I'll retain that. I may have used the whole 20 minutes and answer questions, or if there's any questions from the audience, we certainly prepare for that. And also the property owners here, if you have any questions.
Yeah, and we have a portion where the board will ask you questions, and we have a segment. Okay. We have a portion where you'll be able to respond to public concerns. So we'll get in there and okay. Here shortly. Any questions for the petitioner? Mr. Coleman.
Yes. In your presentation, you stated,
yes, sir,
a desire to potentially purchase more of this property.
Correct.
And if I heard some of the questions to staff earlier, there's a concern relative to the redevelopment of this where the lanes are taken away. And based on the product that you've described, if you are able to secure more of this property, then we would be looking at those lanes being taken away further. So the issue of whether this is an initial one-stop deal or something that's going to continue on if you're successful in obtaining all this property really is outlining that this current master plan would no longer fit where you're trying to go with your product, which means all of these lots which aren't developed right now would probably end up being combined into these larger lots, losing the lanes. Would that not be where you would see that going?
Okay, so if we look at the entire community now, there's such a huge amount of potential lots here. We do have a product that is rear alley loaded. For instance, we're building townhomes in the Upper East River project, and all of those are rear loaded type townhomes. So we think there's a couple of products that we're building over there that we think at some point we can bring over here, because there's a proven, we know what the price point is, we know how to build it, all those sort of things, we're familiar with that product. So if I were to come back in and revisit, certainly a number of these lots I would ask to, if there was no need for an alley, in other words, we were converting all the set, and we're taking an entire block, I would probably come back, would come back and ask for maybe some removal there. But if the product evolves as well too, I still think there'd be a need for rear alley. It's just a product that people are accepting. And it's already laid out here too as well. So there's a chance it would come back, but I'm not going to come back and ask for a blanket removal of all those alleys, if that maybe helps answer.
If I could have a follow up then. Sure. So So with that in mind, you also stated that, and I somewhat agree with you, that this has sat for a long time in this current configuration. So if you're building rear alley product further on the island, do you see that product really working as that fills up, that it might work here, so where you're able to maintain more of that in the future?
Yeah, so what happens on a big project like this, we've already started, we have these, for better or worse, they've been, so for better, I should say, we hire these big companies that help us select product type, particularly as we got into the age-restricted market, because there was some competition, or a lot of competition, for age-targeted type product, but our age-restricted, we had to set a bar above so people would come in, and there's assessments every month that they pay and so forth. So it's quite frankly, it's a kind of an expensive community to live in. But I think that the rear alley, some of those townhomes that we've been building, we can modify those a little bit. And we also have elevators in those townhomes too. We have that option at Upper East River. And we sold townhomes to age restricted in Atlanta with the elevators. And so I do think that's a product that fits here. Again, the scale of this project is so large. If you just look at any project this big, you're going to have a lot. You're going to have five or six different product types by the time you get through it. I just happen to like the age restricted up front. And it's an immediate opportunity for us to get into the market since the lots are essentially, you know, it developed at this point.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Coleman. Mr. Melder.
Thank you. Just one note, as a recent transplant, I don't often get the chance to play Savannian, but we do call them lanes in Savannah, not rear alleys. I've been corrected numerous times. So I give you that note.
I apologize if I offended anyone, but
I give you that note.
Well, when I grew up in the business, that was a long time ago, that was it. I remember when rear alleys first hit, you know. I mean, here in South, I mean, I've been around everywhere. Yeah. All right, so lanes,
since 1730.
To answer your question, I'm not going to ask all the lanes be removed going forward.
Yeah. I do associate my feelings with my colleague, Mr. Coleman, just kind of about your approach to the master plan. This was passed some years ago. It does have a very urban-centric design to it, and I think for the people who have invested in the few homes that are there, they invested in the future of this plan. So I think it'd be very important for any new development to really get your arms around those existing residents who have bought into this property and for a long time to understand their concerns and to talk through what the future plans would be. And I think it would be problematic. So I appreciate the transparency that if you do take down more parcels of this land that you'd be looking to look at the design with a fresh eye, but just to know that people have, you know, purchased property here based on this design. I would ask though, in the plan that's up in the screen, there appears to be something akin to a square that looks like in your amended area, you would propose that to be turned into single family home lots as well. Does this propose the removal of public space as well?
No, sir.
No.
Are you referring to
Mr. Melder? Are you referring to the square here?
Yes.
Yeah, that is a green space that's under the current plan. Let me share with you the proposal.
Okay, it's still there. Got it.
Still there, and yep.
And that was part of the reason that we selected these lots because I think that green space there is an attractive feature for our lots to front on. You know, we've got some of those that were built into the Upper East River, the little squares that are built in this is reminiscent of. But no, sir, I'm not removing any open space on this project.
Okay. Have you spoken to the current residents of Hutchinson?
No, and I apologize because that's not the way we normally work. So we got into contract pretty quickly. Again, we've looked at all sorts of scenarios here. But I will tell you that one of the things that I think is keenly important to this project is Mr. Mopa, the seller, is pulling together and really giving some structure to a homeowners association, which because of the lineage of this thing going into foreclosure and so forth, there's an existing structure, but the players aren't active anymore. You know, it needs some tidying up. Mm-hmm. So that's what he's in the process of doing. Hired a professional company So I think that will benefit the homeowners as well, too. So what, so we'll be neighbors here pretty soon, so we'll have to stand and work out those things together. But yes, I never would come to a public hearing without presentation, and to homeowners ahead of time, and I do apologize. This came up pretty quickly in our contract.
Because I think the lanes become some of the central issue here, at least with the concerns from the current residents, in the product types that you're developing on the Eastern Wharf, can you just shed a little light about why lanes work in that product type versus lanes here? And, you know,
yes, sir.
Lanes are important to the urban design of Savannah just because they're a part of the original Oglethorpe plan. They're an important aesthetic design in terms of the creation of public realm and how properties are served. So I think that's why you see it predominantly throughout these downtown expansion districts. But I'm just curious about how you see that product working in the Eastern Wharf versus not being the right kind of product for these particular parcels on Hutchinson Island.
Okay. When we bought, when we closed on the Savannah River Landing, it was called then, that street pattern was in. The alleys pretty much were in. I think we've had to maybe build a couple, but basically the infrastructure was 90%. So there we weren't doing single family detached. We knew right ahead of time we wanted to, because of the density, and quite honestly, we paid a very significant price for that property too. And it's worth it. I mean, obviously being on the riverfront. So we were marketing to a broader market, not to, our age restricted people. So the age restricted product that we're talking about on the reserve is, it's ranch level on these first 70 lots. The first thing we'd like to introduce, because it's a higher price, it's ranch level, front loaded. And if I had an extra 10 feet, but when they install the roads, I had an extra 10 feet here and here, we could leave the lanes in there. It's just now in order to get the product in there, because it is a long ranch. I mean, these things are, some of them are 75 feet long. And then you add a little screen porch or something on the back. I mean, you get a big product. And so to answer your question, is the product here on these first 24 lots is different entirely than what we came in, the product that we were going to build at Upper East River. And so we already had that. And to be honest, we actually started from scratch at Upper East River. We designed all that product from new. It was all brand new product. Everything, none of that was in our portfolio at the time. Right. It was specific for that particular site.
Yeah.
Okay. Ms. Jarrett.
So being somewhat age restricted myself, I live on a lane, or I live with a lane behind me, and I live in a very narrow lot, and I do have stairs, not an elevator. But the thing that caught my attention was the mention that you know, ultimately, if you guys could invest in more of the property, you'd like to see this become a gated community. If it were to become a gated community, could I assume that you're going to take over responsibility for the streets and the infrastructure and...
Yes, ma'am. So the way that, I'm sorry, was that your question? Okay. All right. So the way that it works in Atlanta, the way it would work here, and that's assuming we would go that way. Obviously, the existing homeowners would have a tremendous say-so whether this thing got gated, security, and so forth. I mean, we're looking a year or two or more down the road, maybe. But so my understanding is that these are dedicated streets. So what they take a couple of measures in order to make them private, which is what if you were going to do an age restricted community and gate it, have a man and woman or a guard there all the time, you really want the private streets, because if it's dedicated streets, I can pull up there and you go, well, I'm a guard here. I don't care. I'm a taxpayer. I can get in here. So I think there'd have to be two actions, and correct me if I'm wrong. One is the city or whatever entity would have to donate or transfer the title of the land to the homeowners association, which would make it private at that point in order to gate it. And then once it becomes private, then the homeowners association, along with everything else, open space, budget, the landscaping, the guardhouse, sweeping the streets, all that sort of stuff, the amenity would have funds set aside every year to maintain the potholes and so forth in the street. I know that was a long answer, but we're not quite ready to petition the city on that yet. But with these being dedicated streets, it works right now. Right.
So essentially your answer to that question is, in the event that you all do get more and further develop and privatize community, yes, you are willing to make, you all will be maintaining the streets.
The streets, yes. Okay. That's exactly the way we do it in every community in Atlanta. Okay. Around Atlanta.
Any further questions for the petition? Ms. Epstein.
Hi. I noted when you were talking about your product for the houses that would not have lane access, and you're trying to adapt a plan that's been successful for your company in other locations. The lanes are important to us, and I would think that some people moving to the area are moving here because of Savannah and the charm and the layout of the – have an architectural background, so maybe I'm overstating that in terms of what attracts
you to the place.
No,
I think you're right on there.
Is it? Did you look at all at adapting that plan that you have to a rear something with rear loading? Because you can, so you'd lose each piece of property would lose 10 feet in the back for that dedicated lane.
At least that, and then you'd have to have, you know, enough to come off of it with a car or something. So it'd be more than just the lane. Obviously, then you got to have another 12 or 15 feet coming off of that before you can have the back. All right. So the reason that we did not look at that is one is we have perfected as close as builders can perfect this product that would come out. We know how it sells for square foot. We have color palette. Our builders can, they know the product and they can build it at the pace that we need to build it. So what happens is here, once the word gets out and you get new product, you really need some momentum to get this project back up and going. And once you get it, you've got to maintain it. And part of the maintaining is delivering product. And so if I were to go back in and redesign my product again just for here, it'd take me another year or two to come back. And to be honest, our architect and the gentleman who owns our company, the age restricted just works better that we have coming in from the front. Because if you come in from the back, everything's toward the front of the house. So there's a lot of, and again, these are long units. So if you come in and you want to go to the kitchen, take your groceries, you're walking from the back of the house to the front, whereas you just come in the back. So we've looked at all that. To be honest, the lane type product in Atlanta now is not moving as well as it did for years. Now, I know there's a charm and a style here, but again, this is, these first 24 are really going to be important to us that we get something that we're familiar with, we can put it in and we know that product and not have to start from scratch like we did on Upper East River.
Thank you. Any further questions for the petitioner? Okay. Here now we'll go into the public comment and we'll take, Chase Rosen online. Please unmute your microphone and you've got 3 minutes to submit your comment.
Yes, sir. Thank you. There was a lot of discussion there, so I apologize if I need to reorganize some of my thoughts.
We can barely hear you.
Can you hear me better now?
One second.
Is this Chase Rosen?
Yes, this is Chase.
Okay, if you could speak up just a little so we can hear you here in the hearing room. Thank you.
Can you hear me better now?
Not really. I don't know. Is that our system? One second.
Can you hear me better now? I switched microphones.
And we can hear you a little better than now.
Great.
Speak up if you would when you start with your comments.
Yes, sir. All right. Thank you. There was a lot of discussion, so I apologize if I take a pause every so often to reorganize my thoughts. Originally, I wanted to speak because I noticed that the property that's being reorganized here surrounds a square. And my main concern with that is it sort of limits the access or the utility, perhaps, of that square to the community. This is supposed to be a public amenity for the whole community. And I understand that it raises the price point for the properties that would be there, but I think that's overall detrimental for the community because, again, it's public. More people should be allowed to access it more readily. And I think that this recombination, if they really need this style of product, it can be moved elsewhere where you're not taking away density from areas where people want to go to. I also think that there is an urgent need for more housing in Savannah in general. So for any plan to remove units that were originally in the plan, I think that's inherently against public interest as well. Additionally, I don't like seeing that this is going to be larger properties because there's a strong need for a missing middle density. Largely around the country, but certainly in surrounding areas around Savannah, this being one of them. And I understand that a diversity of products is good to see. However, I think the loss that you have in terms of having less development on more land and requiring more utilities for serving fewer people, I think that that is more harmful than the benefits would appear. I don't think it's worth it to the city for more money to go to the developer for less efficient land use. I think there was a comment about people moving to Savannah. I recently moved to Savannah myself. My wife and I did, not just for the charm, but for the overall design of the city. It's walkability, it's mobility, the ease of, frankly, just living in a city, in Savannah in particular. And I think people living here would like to see more of that as well. And in terms of having your biggest product that you can fit on here, I would hope that you could consider having more space efficient products. I would hope that the developer could fit more units onto land and not try to upscale land that they have instead. Again, because there's such a severe need for housing in the city. And then to briefly also touch on the comment about buying up the whole island, I would just ask that there be some consideration if that were to happen for the rail that currently stretches across state lines. I understand that's old and probably needs replacing, but I think that would be a great use to the public if the rail line that is currently there could be utilized in some way. That's about all that I have to comment on. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. What tab? The next speaker, again, you have 3 minutes, and that'll be Dickie Mopper. Please state your name for the record.
First of all, I'm going to go ahead and speak now, although I think the process, this is just a suggestion. I think the process is a little bit awkward in that it seems that comments against versus comments for should be separated because I think it's easier for members of a board to understand it if you're hearing pro and con versus mixing it up. I just want to say that for the record. The next thing I'd like to say is, first of all, I find it really interesting that forgetting a little bit about what has been told by Mr. Gaskin, I find it really interesting that we are sitting here today as a board and calling this an urban project. Let me tell you, first of all, that nobody that I know of in the city of Savannah has fought harder for preservation and for the Oglethorpe plan than I have. And it's one of the most important things to me. If this were an urban community, I'd be fighting it and I'd be talking about why we need lanes. It's not. There's not one commercial thing going into this. This is a residential resort island community, period. Lanes are not part of the discussion as far as whether we need it for an urban community. I just want to make that clear. Now, whether y'all want to discuss, you know, whether that should have it, that's a different point. The other thing I'd like to point out, first of all, is that there are hundreds and hundreds of lots. They've been sitting over there for 15 years, not being developed. And the reason is the original development and site plan wasn't well thought out. The people who did it initially made major mistakes. Not only is it a reason that it failed, it's a reason why nobody has come along in all these years to buy it. So I think it's really important to keep that in mind. In regards to whether Patrick Malloy communities will buy more property, I can't tell you. What I can tell you is that we're actively marketing. We have a sales office that we're opening up in 2 weeks on the island. We are preparing to sell our lots, and not specifically to Mr. Malloy, to anybody who wants them. The prices of our lots will start at $100,000 for a townhouse. We'll have row houses. We have what we call city lots. They start at $175,000. Our waterfront lots go up to $500,000, and our golf lots start at $300,000. We've already sold a lot.
You've got about 30 seconds, Mr. Mopper.
Okay. Well, I think it's unfortunate that I won't be able to tell you everything you need to hear, but it's not much I can do in 30 seconds. But I will tell you, just so you understand, this is a project that needs to move forward, and at least 50% of all the townhouses that will be developed there that were approved by our architectural review are going to be front-loaded. So, I mean, that is a product that's going to be there. There are 12 houses only on that island now.
All right, thank you.
By the way, we spent $3 million doing the clubhouse.
Gotcha. Quick question for you. Mr. Marber.
Yes, sir.
I want to pose a quick question for you. So
sure.
I think I've gathered pretty clearly that you're in favor, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, just want to make sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm going to raise this because I want to address the concern that you raised about
grouping
in order as opposed. We have to fill these out fully.
Right.
And unfortunately, I get cars occasionally that don't say whether they're in favor or opposed.
Right. And I did.
So I don't know until.
You're accurate.
Correct. So I don't know until somebody speaks.
And I appreciate
unless they
that.
Fill this out properly.
Because you're accurate. Okay. I did not say that.
But no problem. I appreciate the suggestion. And, you know, as long as we have those things, we can use those tools properly.
Makes sense.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a question for you.
Oh, Mr. Mopper, one of the commissioners has a question for you.
Right here. You had mentioned that this was going to be a residential property, but I note that in the north side of the property, there are two areas, one on either side that say condominium with limited retail up to 15 floors. Is that no longer going to be any retail?
No, let me explain that. Those two tower lots are not part of this subdivision at all. They are not part of the reserve. They're not part of the HOA. They're physically next to it, but they are excluded.
Okay. They're included in the plan before me. I guess that was the confusion.
Yes. Sure.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, add for the record, during the original approval of the master plan, those condominium buildings were part of that approval. Those still are approved and can be built if, assuming they meet the standards. As part of that, the language in the approval said that in order to provide some small retail services for the residents out here, they allocated 1,500 square feet in each building to be able to provide retail services. So that's what that reference on the plan is regarding. But as Mr. Mopper said, not associated with the part of the request that you're seeing today.
So, Marcus, if they were to build those condominiums, would there be any access if the development continued in the vein that our developer had mentioned of private roads? Will we have retail only for the people in the development there?
If this becomes private, that would be the case. As it exists today, if this were all, you know, somebody snapped a finger and it all built out tomorrow as it exists now, then it would be a public facility for anybody to use.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Next, we'll have Mr. Bob Turner. And please state your name for the record. You have 3 minutes to submit your comment.
Yes, my name is Bob Turner. I'm the other half of the investment at Hutchison on the reserve. I want to clear up one thing and not to disrespect my developer, but there has been no discussion whatsoever about making these roads private. So how that got from a conversation to him and then him kind of strewed to that, that is not an ongoing conversation. May not be something that might not happen in the future that I don't know about, but that's not something that we're talking about. So when you talk about retail and separating it and all that, I don't know where all that came from. This development has been sitting empty. It was developed wrong in the first place. We're doing everything we can to get it started again. You've got probably close to 400 lots over there. We have maybe 10 owners that we want to take in, take their opportunity to help them, make sure that we don't disparage their property or whatever. But at the same time, this property is going to sit there empty until we come up with a development process that moves it forward. And we're willing to work with anybody. But there's got to be the if something's designed wrong and you had it designed wrong from the beginning and it's been 15 years, are you going to sit on it another 15 years? Or are we going to work towards trying to do something to move it forward? And so you know, that's what we're trying to do is to bring this back to life and to respect everybody at the same time. So.
Thank you. We'll take the – oh, Ms. Bowles.
And I guess this could be for any of the petitioners. Has the flooding issue been addressed?
And this is – right now we're a little out of order.
Okay.
So what I would like – I'm going to let you answer it, but if we can keep the response as succinct as possible, that would be greatly appreciated.
Okay.
Because typically at this point we're not in asking questions.
Thank okay. You. Yes, the question was pertaining to 100-year floodplain. Yes, Thomas and Hutton, our engineers here, they've certified elevations and so forth, and we have the most up-to-date FEMA maps, including a study that was done, a revised study that was done a couple of years ago. So, yes, these lots that we're buying in particular are out of the 100-year floodplain, and there is a study for the island as a whole. So I know there may be some floodplains on some areas that we're not looking at, but these 24 lots are above that elevation.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right, we'll have the next individual for public comment. That is Greg Smith.
Pass, please.
All right, thank you. Next is John Carswell. Please state your name for the record and be reminded that you have 3 minutes.
Thank you very much, all. I've probably been on this place, Washington Hat, in my 92 years. We used to hunt ducks hole there when I was a kid. Then they filled it up, then we started hunting doves. Now it's turned to a development, a nice one at that. Now, there's not a thing wrong with Dickie Mopp and his entire crew. He's a first-class guy, make a good citizen. But I think mixing this type of house, this type of design into the project is wrong. So like turning a wildcat loose in a chicken yard. And I don't think that it should be that way because the houses are not designed in conformity with the original plan. The reason it place took a long time to develop wasn't so much, I don't think, people's willingness to get in there and try it because of the ownership. Now, so I think that I don't own the house. My wife and I have a life tenancy in there. We lived there for a while. We moved off into one of Patrick Moore's communities, enjoyed that thoroughly, came back here to do it. But I don't think that my stepson, Byron Colley, owns a house. My wife and I have a life tenancy on there. We want to stay there. We're going to stay there, come hell or high water, you might say. We're too old to move. We're not going to move anymore. But I hate to see them take the type of village you've got. Well, the houses and architecture said nothing wrong with architecture. Blends in with downtown Savannah, which was the idea about it, to sit there and start breaking it down. The idea, 55 years old, what is it? You don't tell people how old they got to be to live into a house. And I think that you ought to, they ought to reconsider doing this. Same crew doing it, but they ought to get a different design for the thing, not the one that's on the thing presently. So on behalf of my stepson, my wife and me, we'll be there till we croak. And you wouldn't have lunch after hit much longer because I'm 92 at the present time. But I don't think he'll do it the way it's designed. I think he'll do it, keep the same people involved, he'll do it now, but have to come up with a different architectural plan for what you plan to do. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Carswell. Excuse me. Okay, we'll have Kathy Smith. Please state your name for the record. And again, remember, you have 3 minutes.
Gonna be quick. I'm Kathy Smith, ladies and gentlemen of the Metropolitan Committee. My husband's Greg and I have lived at the Reserve since 2016. We moved there after living on Dutch Island for 20 years because of the house. It was right across from beautiful downtown Savannah, was on the Back River, and most importantly, the plan for the Reserve, which we reviewed when we purchased our house, presented an urban extension of Savannah itself. We reviewed the proposal being presented today and staff analysis of the proposal. We are in agreement with a combination of lots to form larger lots. They've been done often in downtown Savannah. We object, though, to elimination of the lanes and placing garages in front of yards to accomplish this. The lanes are important because they allow garages to face the lanes rather than the street. The lanes include utilities, and they're an integral part of the urban design. They're a constituent throughout the current master plan. We believe that the elimination of lanes creates a more suburban environment in an urban development. Creating a suburban section in the middle of an urban development design paves the way for development with multiple plans within an originally well-conceived urban plan. The developer's design is concerned about parking. We believe there are alternatives which should provide more parking and retain the lanes. If the MPC approves this request, it'll be forced to approve other mini plans within the reserve. What will be left is no plan at all. We respectfully request that the MPC requires that the lanes be retained, and we request that the city manager of Savannah not recommend to Savannah City Council the abandonment of rights-of-way and easements related to the lanes. We also respectfully request that the MPC urge developer to focus on residential home designs suitable for a southern urban environment as opposed to suburban-style homes. Savannah is uniquely a beautiful city. The reserve presents an opportunity for Savannah to expand in a thoughtful way that complements the existing adjacent urban environment of downtown Savannah. The original plan for the reserve attempted to do that. This proposed amendment to adopt a plan to accommodate suburban style homes destroys that plan, and in doing so will degrade Savannah itself. It's a hidden little secret that is totally awesome to all who already live in the reserve. And I mean, the reserve, we don't want ranch style houses with circular driveways and all cement out front. I mean, there has to be some other way. You wouldn't put that in downtown Savannah. But we do love it out there. And our house, actually, our garage does not face the street, which he said it faces the other way. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, Keith Sapp, please state your name for the record. And again, you have 3 minutes.
My name is Keith Sapp. I'm a resident on the reserve. I kind of second the motion on everything Kathy said. The things I'd like to add, when they mention the Eastern Wharf, just like Kathy said, when we moved out there, part of the reserve was supposed to be an extension of downtown Savannah. I think when you talk about Eastern Wharf, that is an extension. It's a great extension of downtown Savannah. When you mentioned, Jay, about the layout of Oglethorpe, you know, the lane usage was part of that plan. We bought out there with the intentions that this was going to be the direction of this neighborhood. I understand the neighborhood has sat dormant for quite some time, but you know, with everything going on, and I'm a Savannah native, I've seen the landings go through stages where part of that sat dormant for a period of time and it picks back up. You know, with the growth in Savannah, everything that's with the logistics part of Savannah, the large companies coming into the area, I can't imagine that if they stick with this type of plan that also we kind of married into with the bylaws of this association. The bylaws of the association were set. Granted, there's no active association. I mean, this thing is almost like an encyclopedia. And part of the bylaws in that encyclopedia are the building guidelines to stay consistent to downtown Savannah. Another question I would have, even though there's no active association, if they take these lots and combine these lots, are they going to take the I'm not sure I'm really, I guess I'm addressing the entire committee here, but does that mean they're going to take the space of those lots when they do implement an association? Does that mean they take those lots and they double the value of that association cost? I mean, how is that going to be implemented as well? At some point in time, there's got to be an active association. So how does that, how do they address that as well? If they do, if you guys approve this and they move in that direction. Thank you.
All right. I have no further speaking cards, so I'm going to move into where the petitioner gets the opportunity to respond to public comment.
Okay. Excuse me. I'll keep this quick. I know we've discussed this. Again, I want to reiterate what Mr. Turner said. There are no plans to make these all private streets. That was a concept that we brought to Atlanta, talked about it. So I would say the odds of this happening, given the fact that people are living there, there's two parcels that have to have access through there. I think there's some access for the Corps of Engineers to get back to some planned facilities and so forth. So the chances of everybody come up private drives totally is remote. But I was asked a hypothetical question, so I addressed it at that point. So I'd like maybe to take that off as a part of the consideration. I'm not going to come back and start asking for all private streets. It's kind of too late for that, unless the city were to approach us or something unusual happened. Number two, in terms of the context of this and what this site feels like and so forth, I know it sits across. To be honest, it's got some of the best views of Savannah. People don't realize they live in Savannah. You can't see the riverfront, but you live over here, so you're actually. But as you drive across the bridge, you got golf courses. It's very low scale over there, surrounding this property with the golf courses. So it does have a resort feel to me, as opposed to the urban type squares that the historical style that the city normally has. So I think there's a different feel, and I think the buyers who look at this site would, although they still like the Savannah style, so to speak, I still think it's a different context that they're looking in. That may not make a whole lot of sense, but the feel is different. If this were on one of the squares here, we would we would look at a totally different product and keep the alleys and so forth in. In terms of association costs, and this is the last item, yes, there'll be essentially, there's with this company that the owner has hired, they'll come in and do an assessment of what it costs every year to maintain it and so forth, and do a cumulative cost, get bids and so forth. And then there is our lots will actually have an additional cost because we do provide total exterior maintenance on the lawns and not the house itself, but all the exterior. They're all mowed. Pine straw, all that sort of stuff every week. So that comes as part of buying the house as well, too. So all this is going to feed in. So the new HOA will get structured to this. In terms of assessments, typically the 70-foot lots our lots are more expensive, quite honestly, than what Mr. Mopler had mentioned on the prices. But again, the association fees typically are tied to either a lot width or a price point. And variable will be at the top, our assessments will be more. So, and those are the things I think, as far as density and so forth, I don't know how to really address that. Other than this thing obviously has no economic market value as it's currently zoned, so to speak, which is a legitimate thing to consider in zoning since it has a history of sitting there for so long. It does now, I think, to us.
Thank you, Mr. Gaskin. Mr. Melder.
Mr. Chair, just a comment. The HOA has come up just to make a comment that it's not the purview of this board to
agree.
Understand HOA issues.
Agree.
This is a zoning matter. completely and solely. And so I, just to make a comment, I do understand Mr. Mopper's point that it was always been 100% residential development. I think the issue here is that the original plan called for lanes, and we're trying to understand whether or not the lanes are valuable or not from a planning perspective. Given that there's a, you know, several front loaded homes in the prior plan, I don't necessarily see personally the front loading or the elimination of lanes to be problematic from a zoning point of view. I will ask the developer, there's 12 residents on the property. I think, you know, some low hanging fruit to do some engagement there. But I think a lot of the board is responding to some of the concerns that we've heard over the last few days from some of the residents who are here and some who aren't. So that those are my comments, and just to urge colleagues to view this solely as a zoning matter, not anything involving the HOA. And this isn't a petition for private streets, and that would be something that the city of Savannah would have to decide, not the MPC.
I thank you for that comment, Mr. Melder. I made a couple of notes to highlight those very things. So I appreciate you for submitting that comment, and I too get behind the idea to maintain the focus on the zoning matter solely. Any further discussion? If not, we'll entertain a motion.
Chairman, can we hear the staff recommendation, please?
Mr. Lyson.
Yes, sir, and I'll bring the a recommendation up on the screen also. So the staff recommendation is to approve the amended master plan as submitted with the following condition: approval by the City of Savannah of all right-of-way abandonments prior to the recording of the revised plat for the lots identified as Type G, and the Type G lots are those lots that are proposed to be recombined.
Thank you, sir. All right.
I have a question.
All right. Okay. We'll go ahead and entertain whatever questions are necessary now. But we got to go ahead and get it to a vote.
And that's the point I wanted to make, is that are we comfortable taking it to a vote without the petitioner meeting with the community, or should we continue?
I was going to make the same point. I was going to ask staff first if that was even required in this point. And because if it's not something that is absolutely required within the process, then we can't force the hand on such.
It's not a requirement of the zoning ordinance to do that in the case of a amendment to a master plan. I will say that each of the property owners, residents within the reserve were notified. We can tell based, I guess, on the presence today, and it sounds like from some phone calls that board members may have received, that the residents and current owners are aware of the petition. So and from staff standpoint, the letter of the law has been met from a public notice standpoint.
And I wholeheartedly support the fact that we have met our obligation, and it appears that everybody else within this process has met their legal obligations. So I think we would overstep at that point by forcing something that is not in the required process.
Chairman,
I mean, it is the appropriate thing to do, in my personal opinion. However,
well, then let me ask then, from staff's point of view, whether of the 12.
the next item on the agenda, and that is presentations.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are none listed. We're going to other business. I just want to take a couple of seconds. Number one, to one second. Okay. I wanted just for the board, I wanted to first personally thank the executive director for organizing. I was afforded the opportunity to go up to the APA's National Planning Conference in Philly last week. It was myself, Mr. Lotson, Pam, Caitlin, and it's just us, right? Yeah, it was just us. All right. And we had the opportunity to see what was going on across the nation, what people are faced with. And it was good news that we're not alone in some of the very things that we are trying to address. The high points were the fact that we are not alone in some of the things. But more importantly, I saw a major push and a major effort of communities having to be a lot more creative to get to resolution of the issues that are pressing communities everywhere. Speaking of housing costs, housing availability, diversity and inclusion within processes, as well as protections and such. So I just wanted to kind of throw out that to the board, just to let everybody know that, you know, the executive director and staff are continually doing things to improve our process so they can come back, contribute, and we can do what's good for our community. Secondly, real quick, I just wanted to touch on the idea. I would like for us to, everybody to take a moment to, between now and the next meeting, take a good look at your bylaws. I think that we need to review what we have before us. We found some susceptibility in some of our processes, but at the same time, we also have, need to revisit some things that can offer some protections and some vehicles to improve our process and deliver a better product for our community. I think next meeting we'll probably try to assemble a committee of individuals that would like to contribute to what these bylaw update may look like. I can't remember off the top of my head. I looked before I came in to see when was the last time we updated bylaws, but I think it's pretty much time to revisit. So I just wanted to put that on everybody's radar as we go forward, over the next month, that we start thinking about what that looks like and how we better structure our guiding principles to better serve us and the community that we serve. That's all I had. If there's nothing else.
If I may, I just want to let you know that I will send a copy of the bylaws to all of you.
Okay.
So that you don't have to go through your stuff to look for them.
All right.
Also wanted to make a note that the City of Savannah, Miss Liddy was also in.
That's right. That's right.
Philly. At the conference and was pretty excited to be there. So I will say, Mr. Melder, thank you for allowing her to go.
Leading our team.
Yeah. So she was really excited to be there as well. So I'm really glad that you got the opportunity, as well as our staff that came back energized and excited about things that we need to be looking at here in Savannah. Also, next month, the agenda is going to be quite long. So please be prepared for a little bit longer meeting.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So we motion to adjourn. All right. Meeting adjourned. Thank you.